Hi, and welcome to our Doc Industry Podcast, season number 5. Here's your podcast about creative documentary and animated film industry. It's in collaboration with our dear friends, the Programmers of Color Collective and What's Up With Docs. A big shout out to our partners, supporters, and contributors. Check them out. And hey, it's good to have you here. Enjoy your conversation. Here is Doc Industry Podcast, season number 5.
I've been thinking a lot about Black people and Black women in leadership changing the narratives of their contribution in our industry. There's this anecdote about the first Black Panther that I love. Ryan Coogler's top 3 choices for department heads were women with varying degrees of experience. It's well documented that Ryan had to fight the studio on his demand for these positions. Rachel Morrison, cinematographer. Hannah Beechler, production design. Ruth E. Carter, costume design. Ultimately, 2 out of 3 won Academy Awards for their work on his film. The 2023 Accessibility Scorecard Impact Report collected data for a year and a half and found that inaccessibility dominates the festival landscape. It's bad news. Only 5 festivals out of 75 evaluated scored above the median. 2 out of those 5 festivals, Black Star and the International Queer Women of Color Film Festival, are run by Black women. As institutions decide to put DEI programs on the chopping block, and some states start making it illegal to invest in them using federal funding, private donors' commitments to support Black causes have become out of vogue. We have to take a look at what is working. And to do this, I wanted to connect with the experiences of 2 filmmakers. One whose passion for creative writing opened the door to expression through film just last year. The other has a full-length feature that premiered at South by Southwest and another full-length at Tribeca just this year. Your Artist-in-Residence Fellowship or Pipeline programs provide young filmmakers with the confidence and strategic support they need to figure out this industry. Some of y'all gatekeepers, I'm a gatekeeper too, hear me out. Some of y'all gatekeepers are out here faking the funk. Many of you, all theory and no praxis. Don't think we don't whisper about you. I'm worried about what this decline in funding will further mean for programs that support specific opportunities for peer connections, mentorships, pipelines for people of color and Black women. Let's find out. Lana Dantzler was born and raised in West Philadelphia. She's 16 years old and currently majoring in creative writing at the historic Philadelphia High School for Creative and Performing Arts. Lana is a proud Black Girls Film Camp alumni. She wrote, directed, and starred in her first short film, 5 Angry Black Girls, in 2023. The film will be screened at Essence Film Festival 2024 this July. Lana, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation.
I'm really happy to be here. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, let's get into it. I mean, I just read, of course, to our audience that you went to, that you're attending the High School for Creative and Performing Arts. I myself attended a performing arts high school in Sarasota, Florida. And I have to tell you, the friendships that come from that experience are like, unlike attending any other type of high school. So you have a lot of warm years to look forward to with your class. How are things going in high school right now?
Things are going really well. I really value my education in creative writing. I think the fundamentals are really important. And as you know, I've already directed and wrote my first short film, but I know that Black Girls Film Camp, that's one of the things that they hone in. It's a big part of the process is writing. But not all of the girls aspire to be writers. It just gives you a perspective on like every different piece of the process when it comes to film production. But I personally really enjoy the writing process. It's one of my favorites, and it's probably predates my interest in directing, probably predates my interest in anything. Ever since I was a little kid, I've always been very, very passionate about writing. So my education at high school is very valuable to me. I even met Angela Niesel. She knows my parents as well. She worked on The Other Black Girl on Hulu. And she also studied at my high school. Yes, yeah, so it's pretty cool. But I just learned a lot about story structure. My classes last year were journalism. I actually take screenwriting next year, but I do find that all of those different facets are very helpful. There's so many different ways to be a writer, and I think that knowing those ways kind of and it's like they always say that you should know the rules so you can break them creatively. So I think it's really important to understand the rules and the fundamentals of writing as a practice before I get into more like genre specific things like screenwriting. And I really value it. So I'm having an amazing time.
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. Why don't we talk a little bit about like your vision as far as coming into this profession as an emerging filmmaker? How exciting is it that your film's going to be screened at Essence Film Festival? You're going to have the time of your life. What does being a filmmaker mean to you, Lana?
This is a really great question. Actually, kind of goes into like the like you're saying the vision. When I was younger, when I was in the second grade, I had a very, very bad panic attack, and because I've actually never spoken about this before publicly, so this will be interesting. I had a very bad panic attack, and I needed to be restrained, and a teacher or some sort of a school officer restrained me, and because I was stressed, again, second grade child, I was waving my hands around, and this school officer made a claim that I tried to swing at them, that I tried to hurt them. And after that, my mom ended up transferring me to a different school. And that was really the beginning of my more racially and socially aware education. I went to private school, shout out Jubilee School. It's a very small private school here in Philadelphia. And they really got my start of racial education. I started learning about things that were far ahead of many of my peers, things that I was watching people be introduced to in high school, because now in Philadelphia, it's actually mandatory to take African American history in order to graduate. So I already knew about these things like Africatown. I knew about Maroon communities, and a lot of my other peers were just now learning about things like that. But unfortunately, people always say intelligence is a gift and a curse, because I remember going on to middle school and dealing with a lot of ignorance. And then obviously the pandemic happened when I was in the seventh grade. So I remember just kind of being holed up in my house and seeing so much going on in the world that was very upsetting to me. I just remember feeling like a lot of anger. I kind of just wanted to scream at everyone and let out all of this passion I had. I wondered why my life mattering was some sort of debate. And I remember the only thing that kind of made me feel comfortable or made me feel like some sort of relief was consuming any sort of film I could get my hands on. I probably watched the most movies I ever did in my life during that time, because I had so much, free energy on my hands, and I needed to get out of that mindset of just going down the rabbit hole of everything horrible that was going on in the world. And that obviously is still going on. And so I realized, there was this huge message that I wanted everyone to know. And I felt like film was the only medium that matched the scale of that message that I really wanted to tell. Just illustrate to people, okay, you must not be getting something. The empathy isn't there. So let's teach people. And so I just felt that film was the medium to educate that fit the scope or the scale of the message that needed to be told. So it was more a thing where it's like I took something that I loved and that moved me and that helped me a lot in that time. And I decided, okay, how can I use this thing that I love for good or the change that I want to see?
That's really incredible. So it really felt kind of like a necessity to share what you were thinking and feeling with the world, and film was that medium for you. How did you find Black Girls Film Camp?
It's actually really funny. I found BGFC from looking for, so in Philadelphia, we have this program. I think they have this in a lot of different cities. They just call it something different. Youth programs that offer stipends for doing like a summer of what's the word? Like educational training for like job training, whether it be, construction work or like finance, etc. So I was looking for a program like that that surrounded film. I wanted to maybe like get some education for what it might be like to work in that career and also maybe get paid a stipend, just something over the summer that I could do. I ended up not finding anything. And as you know, our phones spy on us. So after a little while, I got this random ad on Instagram for Black Girls Film Camp. And I remember when I checked, there was already a cohort going on. So I just followed the organization for a while. I joined the mailing list and I just said, okay, next time applications open, I'm going to apply. Applications opened. I procrastinated for a bit. I stewed over my story and I submitted and I ended up getting in on my first round. And a lot of girls don't do that. So I was very, very proud of myself.
All right, let's talk about Black Girls Film Camp and the just phenomenon that is the creative vision of founder and executive director Jamaica Anderson. Black Girls Film Camp is an intensive organization providing young filmmakers with everything they need to create a short film during their time in the camp, no matter where in the country each girl is located. This includes, but isn't limited to, production support. And when I say support, I don't mean just a camera and access to some software, even though that is part of what you receive when you're selected. I mean an entire team of coaches and supervisors, some who meet with the girls in person to actually create their films. Students get access to workshops and sessions with industry professionals, and talent as well. Lana, you worked with a production coach, an editor, and had access to a pre-production supervisor, production supervisor, and post-production supervisor. How many girls were in your cohort, and where in the country were they located?
They pick 10 girls every year. They previously were just in our country, but they have recently moved to international. So they usually get hundreds of applications. So that core 10 is like really, really an honor to be a part of. I was for the 2023 cohort. We're now in 2024. So the girls are now international. We have a girl from Australia. So it's 10 girls from all over the world, cities like Chicago, Atlanta. We get girls from California, San Diego. Again, Australia, but they really come from all over North Carolina.
So tell us a little bit about working with the team. And after that, we're just going to touch on the sisterhood that Jamaica Anderson created when she built this program. How was working with Black Girls Film Camp? And just tell us a little bit about your experience and what you got from the power of this type of mentorship.
Yeah, I think the best thing about Black Girls Film Camp is just I think Black women were so reflective and we have like such a strong energy amongst each other that we always recognize when we're in a privileged moment because there are so few. So I just feel like the community that we have together, everyone there is so grateful for it. And we get guests all the time that are just like, I'm so appreciative of this. I wish I had this when I was younger. And it makes you feel really grateful for the space that you're in. The mentorship is beautiful and amazing. I've had gotten advice that sticks with me forever. But even like again, when we were very early on in the process, I remember having a meeting with my team, my editor, and my production coach, and we just ended up talking for hours. Did hours and hours upon end, and just talking about films and movies that we love, and even outside of the context of us working together, talking with a bunch of Black women that are just so passionate about this art form is so comforting. And I think one of the big things that Black Girls Film Camp stands for is there's a direct correlation between lack of representation and scope of opportunity. So if you're a young Black girl and you don't see yourself not even just on the screen, but behind the scenes, that can be very detrimental to your perception of what you can and can't do. So I think even just having these conversations of people recognizing we both like this, we all like this art form. It's not a thing where you have just alone been in love with this. So many people love this. And there are also so many women working in this industry doing this that you might not see or have roles you might not even know exist. So it really expands the scope and expands the opportunities that you have. And I know, like I said, I had always had a really strong interest in writing and a really strong interest in directing, but being in Black Girls Film Camp, I've been introduced to so many different roles. I've been introduced to working with sound and working on the development side of things, working on the producing side of things. I've script supervised. I've had so many different roles throughout this program, and they've given me so many opportunities. And even outside of what they let me practice, I've been exposed to those possibilities through them. I've met women who just work in costume design, and that is intriguing to me as well. This industry is so vast and so huge, and they really hammer that home. And it's just like a thing where it's like people can see us and they can make a generalization about Black women, but so many people here have so many different roles. You know, Chastity Jade, she's an amazing and talented editor. Regina Hoyles, amazing and talented director. Yamoria Wright, amazing, talented writer, and she's also an actress. Like you see these three Black women standing somewhere, and people could make a generalization about them. But not only do they work in this industry, they have very, very, very different roles, and they probably couldn't do each other's jobs. So it's just a lot of a thing where it's people are like, okay, we gave Lupita the Oscar, so now you guys can shut up about it. But it's like, not everyone can be Lupita. Not everyone can be Lupita. There's so many different Lupitas, and there's so many different Lupitas that apply to their own specific genres and their own specific lines of work. So I just feel like it diversifies your perspectives and your scope of opportunity, and it truly succeeds in what the point is. The point is educating Black girls and giving them at least the opportunity to dream or to know what they can dream about. Because as it stands right now, they don't even know a lot of these jobs exist for them to have.
So I'm definitely hearing when you talk about, well, first of all, you're so passionate, and I'm so appreciative of this, the established filmmakers and directors and festival folks that are going to hear this podcast are going to be just super enthused by the way that you're talking about film and the way that you see your role in it. I can almost hear your heart beating faster as you're talking about the opportunities that Black Girls Film Camp gave you. So it's fair to say that your life has been changed. Like what you were, or what you saw creativity as in this industry before Black Girls Film Camp and after must feel revolutionarily different.
It definitely does. I just feel like the opportunities have, there's so many, there's so much stuff, there's so many things to do. And even after I'm done with the program, as an alumni, they have invested so much into me. And I can talk about this more as we lean more into sisterhood. But afterward, the alumni commitment, Kellyanne Jordan, the alumni coordinator, Sierra Davis, and Jamaica Anderson, the co-founders of Black Girls Film Camp, they are so passionate on making sure that even after we're done the program, we still feel supported. After I had completed my entire short film, I was given the opportunity to moderate an interview with Blitz Bazabulle. It was a beautiful, beautiful conversation. So it doesn't really even, like, it doesn't stop after that. Being a Black Girls Film Camp girl goes on forever. And even our speakers, they stay involved. People love the community and the energy that we bring. Even the people that aren't the girls learning of the opportunities, the people that already work in the industry that learn about our program, they appreciate it as well, and they feel changed as well, and they feel renewed, and they feel reflective, and they feel like they're doing something to make a change in this very clear and very real statistic that Black Girls Film Camp is rooted in, the fact that we are not allowed to see ourselves in different opportunities and different positions creatively.
Tell me how important it was to you that your cohort and the professionals you worked with were all Black.
I think it was really important to me specifically because, you're always going to feel more comfortable when you can see yourself somewhere. But I spoke on earlier too, it's just that as Black women, we tend to not feel like we deserve, or we tend to not recognize moments where we are being specifically cared for, we are being specifically recognized and put on pedestals positively. So I think that the team being, I don't even want to say majority, Black women, the team being Black women, is so essential because it really, you know that they're there to nurture you, and that they know what it's like. It's not like a lot of the times you'll see youth programs specifically for Black youth that don't have Black people behind them. They tend to occasionally lack the empathy on certain topics that are needed. A lot of the Black women on the team for Black Girls Film Camp are scholars, and they do have knowledge on a lot of these issues from not even just an experience perspective, but an informed perspective as well. So the films that Black Girls Film Camp creates are also informed in education. We have been talking about this. My short film is at, on the surface, again, it's a dramedy, but it is generally about racial profiling in the box that Black women and girls tend to get put in. And I was able to create that and create that from an informed perspective, not only from my education, but from the education of the women on the Black Girls Film Camp team. Because again, a white person can go to as many lectures as they want to, and they can care as much about Black youth, but without that experience and without that education, it is sometimes hard. So having reflective and intelligent Black women be there to support you, not only with creative experience, but with the life and educational experience to be able to execute those stories in an informed and effective way, I think is the most essential part of the process.
That's incredible. I think this is all good stuff. But I think to close off here, can you just tell me what you see when you think about your future as a filmmaker, and how did your experience in Black Girls Film Camp kind of shape how you see your future?
I mean, like I said, like once you're a Black Girls Film Camp girl, you're a Black Girls Film Camp girl forever. So I'm gonna be a Black Girls Film Camp girl forever. But even outside of that, I think for my future, I would just love to. And again, I've collaborated with many alumni as well. My friend Avery Kelly, she's also a director. We collaborated on something as well with a friend from Black Girls Film Camp, Jayla Ellis, who's also in my cohort of 2023. We worked on something in Atlanta together that should be coming out soon. So I just want to continue to work with my sisters, continue to give my sisters jobs. I want to create, I want to direct forever. I love this art form, and I want to get as many and as much experience as I can. I'm actually currently doing a film program right now, like on location for that. But I just want to continue to pursue my passion. I think the ultimate goal, like I said, when I was young, was always been to educate people and make them aware. Well, doing what I love. So I just want to continue to make informed content. I want to make things that people understand, that people love, but people also feel like spark conversations and make them feel seen and represented well and effectively. So my content can continue to reflect the Black Girls Film Camp message, which I think is very important and affects me as well. So I just want to continue to reinforce that positivity and try and change that statistic.
Lana, thank you so much for your insight and just your awareness and brilliance as a part of this conversation. I appreciate your time so much.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I had an amazing time. I love to talk about Black Girls Film Camp. Whoever will let me, that's my favorite thing. So thank you so much.
Right on. Enjoy the rest of your time at camp.
Thank you.
From the mouths of babes, the future looks bright. Contessa Gales is a film director, writer, DP, editor, and an Emmy-nominated producer. She tells stories about identity, socio-political movements, healing, Black liberation, and the radical imagination. Contessa's feature-length documentary visual album, Songs from the Hole, world premiered at South by Southwest in 2024, where it won the Audience Award in Visions category. She premiered the debutantes at the 2024 Tribeca Film Festival and Documentary Competition. The documentary short, Founder Girls, premiered at the 2023 Tribeca Film Festival and broadcast on BET. Previously, she was a producer at CNN, where she directed and produced award-winning original series and documentaries, including the feature doc, The Feminist on Cell Block Y. Contessa, You've had a
Shakira.
busy year.
I definitely did. It's been a busy few years, thankfully.
Your name is everywhere, and I have such joy and a big smile on my face whenever I read your name on LinkedIn or in the trades. How have you been doing? Just tell me a little bit about your experiences over the past few months, and then we're gonna get into how you got here.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a busy few years. I've been calling it this year the year of the harvest because all of the seeds that I've been planting and watering and nurturing in terms of dock babies have finally come up and bloomed in this past year. And I also became a first-time mom and gave birth to a baby girl. It was actually 6 weeks until she came when we premiered Songs from the Hole at South By. And then exactly 6 weeks after she came, we premiered the debutantes at Tribeca. So really busy 2024 for me. And it's been
Wow,
great.
I can only imagine. Congratulations on the addition to your family.
Thank you so much.
So I
Thank
want to talk about your work that I'm most familiar with, Founder Girls, but I definitely want to address your premieres this year, Songs from the Hole, as well as the debutantes. I produced a podcast for Dog Leipzig a few years ago called Who is Missing from the Coming of Age Narrative? And in this podcast, I got a few friends together. And we lamented the lack of documentaries showing Black kids living parts of their lives that are free from racialized oppression. Just Black teens having teenage problems, teenage joys, teenage curiosities. And then I saw the treatment for Founder Girls and was just extremely excited for what was to come. And it didn't disappoint. Congratulations on just showing an aspect on teen or on young Black girlhood or just young girlhood that just spoke to so many people. Tell us a little bit about where the idea for that documentary came from, just briefly because it pleases me so much. And then also, what I took from that documentary and what I th honestly think about, like probably every few weeks or so, it comes back to me is the sound in the documentary. Just Black girls just laughing and chatting and just like so free. It's an incredible piece of work. And I'm so proud to have you here in conversation with me. Just talk about Founder Girls with me real quick.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you followed the project from the nascent treatment stages to it coming to fruition. We premiered it last year at Tribeca and it broadcast on BET, and it's actually having an encore broadcast this coming weekend, July, or this coming Monday, July 1st. So, yeah, it's exactly what you were describing in terms of that podcast episode, which I'm now really excited to be aware of and go listen to about what was missing from the coming of age narratives that are out there. I think, for me as a Black woman, I didn't really see a lot of Black girl coming of age stories. And the ones that I did see or have seen are more in the fiction space. There's not really many docs that tell our stories, and even fewer that tell our stories that are actually told by us, by other Black women. Behind the camera, directing and shaping the narrative. So I really wanted to tell a story in that space and wanted to tell a story that was like neither on the extreme ends, either extreme ends of which our stories tend to be told, which is, either trauma narratives or stories about like our supreme Black excellence and these amazing accomplishments and unworldly feats that we can, and that's what gives us the permission or is worthy our stories being told. And I feel like there's so much on either end of the spectrum, but there's a whole swath of our everyday lives, as you're pointing out, that is missing, and that accounts for probably the majority of us and our experiences. And that we need more storytelling in that space. So, it is a remarkable summer camp in that it was founded in 1924. by a Black woman named Maddie Landry, who is a school administrator and a community leader and a leader in her church, whose, you know, efforts to start a summer camp were kind of thwarted in a way when the existing white summer camps in Texas, 1924, San Antonio, did not allow for the Black girls that she had gathered in her church community to integrate into their camp. And so she, with the help of her church community, raised the funds to buy land in the segregated South and create a summer camp of her own for Black girls. And it is believed to be the first of its kind sleepaway summer camp for Black girls in the country. So there is like a really important historical narrative here and a legacy here that is a part of the film. But I also just wanted to capture in like a very immersive verite way the experience of what the camp looks like today, 100 years later. And so Founder Girls really follows the campers of today while reflecting on that past and that legacy that they're standing on and stepping into, just in a space of freedom and a space that was created for them, specifically by people who look like them, and reinforces these pillars. They organize the camp around these four pillars: strong, brave, creative, confident. And all of those activities that they do and programming that they do is meant to instill these in Black girls in particular and be, you know, hyper specific to cultivating these attributes in Black girls, knowing that, you know, we are super diverse and that we contain multitudes, but still there's things that unite us in our experiences and commonalities that unite us in our experiences. And the Camp Founder Girls organization is really intentional about making sure that the girls have an experience that is specific to them and nurtures them in a way that, you know, is mindful of what they're facing and what they're experiencing as Black girls in America. So we capture all of that and really just capture the girls in these little moments of, you know, self-discovery, of exploration, of, you know, friendship and sisterhood and creating community with other Black girls and mentorship with Black counselors. And yeah, I think it's just meant to be a portrait of Black girlhood in this like really special place and time, this 1 week camp that is like a little bubble of joy and freedom for them. And that's what the film is about and celebrating.
So we just had Lana Dantzler, who is a young filmmaker, 16 years old, who was part of Black Girls Film Camp cohort of 2023. I asked her, you know, what the importance was of having a cohort and having instructors and coaches, having sessions and workshops facilitated by all Black women and all Black girls. And, you know, she was able to really verbalize what it meant to her. And I think, you know, speaking in that same way about Founder Girls, I'm just curious as to like, and this is going to be kind of my last question about what's going on with you in the film space the past few years. Internally, what is kind of the thread that puts together all of your projects from the past 2 years? So Founder Girls, Debutantes, and Songs from the Hole. What does that look like visually for you? Can you share that with us? You're just trying to get a bit of your brain.
There's a couple of things. I think just starting thematically, the uniting thread across these three films and kind of the space that I've been in as an artist over the past few years that I've been making these films has been really focused on Black liberation and also our healing and kind of exploring that in different ways. I also think the coming of age narrative in different ways of telling that and from different perspectives to put as many versions of that out that expresses our diversity of experience and, you know, just is trying to add to that canon in a way that feels like more holistic thematically, I think that's what unites these three films. And visually and cinematically, in the edit, I've been playing a lot with these kind of collage-like ways of piecing things together and mixing archive with verite, with, video diaries, with TikToks, narrative kind of visuals, scripted, portraiture, all this kind of stuff, to create kind of like a tapestry and this kind of kaleidoscopic portrait of Black childhood and Black coming of age. I think that's the space that I've been playing in across all three films.
That's brilliant. Thank you. In this conversation, I want to celebrate the successes of pipeline programs, including sort of like artists in residence, fellowships, labs, and just trying to think about how leaders have created opportunities for us and for emerging filmmakers to find success in a route that kind of is outside of academia. You've been asked to participate in an impressive number of emerging filmmaker program, which showcases a very apparent amount of trust in your vision as a creator. You're part of the Firelight Documentary Lab Fellowship, Chicken and Egg Lab Fellowship, Film Independent Amplifier Fellowship, SF Film Filmmaker in Residence. Shout out to the Bay Area. Looking back the past 4, 5, 6 years, you've been very busy and learning and absorbing and being a part of these communities with emerging filmmakers. Can you just share how these experiences have shaped you? How have they shaped your vision as a filmmaker? And how have these experiences shaped you as just a working professional?
Yeah, I think I have been very lucky to have had the experiences that I had in these artist support programs and these fellowships across the past few years. And it really came at a super formative time for me in my work as a filmmaker. I used to be on staff at CNN, and it was a very different kind of place in terms of creating, and obviously journalistically focused, and the parameters of corporate media in terms of what kind of storytelling I could do and how. And so to leave that space and start my independent filmmaking journey, it was really formative to have these types of programs that really like helped me believe that I was an artist, not just a journalist, and to nurture those things, and also to like show you the ropes of here's how to get your film funded, here's how to support yourself as an artist and make this a sustainable career, being an independent filmmaker. And the community aspect, I think, both on the mentorship side and the peer kind of networking and the peer community that you create within your cohorts, I think has been the most influential and important part of all of the programs that I've been a part of, because these folks are supporters, now collaborators, friends. We hire each other, we work together on things, and we met in these cohorts. So I think all of these programs are really necessary, in particular for folks who come from communities that are underrepresented in the documentary space and in the film industry. A lot of us maybe wouldn't get our films made if it weren't for those supports and the funding that comes with them, to be honest. And oftentimes, these programs that are specifically supporting filmmakers of color, Black filmmakers, female filmmakers, are the first to take a chance on supporting you and your film. And like once they're in, then there's some confidence from other institutions and other foundations to actually invest and put money and, you know, give money to your project so you can make it. But like, you know, the Firelights, and they're the ones who are taking the first quote unquote risk, or, you know, chance on you as a, mm-hmm. as a filmmaker. And, you know, their stamp of validation goes a long way. And then the cascade of support that can come after that.
Contessa, I mean, I can only imagine what's ahead for you, and like, you know, the brilliant work that you must already have in your head. Hopefully after you've, you know, gotten some sleep and taken some time off, or I don't know, do we really ever get to rest? Mm-hmm. No. I can't imagine what's ahead for you. I just look forward to you having an incredible career in the independent film space. Would it be fair to say that what I feel like I'm hearing you say is the opportunities that you've had may not have been available to you, the successes that you've had may not have been available to you, and the only variable there is, you know, the fact that you've basically been co-signed by some of these programs. If you weren't co-signed, it would have been much more difficult for you to get your projects made, or to get them to get it to premiere at festivals. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Not to say that there would be no support, but
right.
A lot of the times, I think that it just takes one individual or one organization who is in a position of, you know, power to
right.
to reach their hand down and say, like, yeah, we believe in you and we believe in your vision and we're going to support you. And then, you know, the rest of the industry follows suit. Mm-hmm. That said, I mean, there's definitely a difference, as we were discussing before, between these programs that are specifically for Black filmmakers and women of color filmmakers, and the community that surrounds that, because there's an intentionality to support mm-hmm. the whole artist, and there's mm-hmm. a kind of authentic approach and understanding when it comes to what we are up against. And even if we have the talent and we have the story and we have, you know, all the right pieces, that we may not have the right connections. We may not, you know which doors to knock on. And and it also looks different. Like when we're pitching our stories that are from our perspective, and we're the ones who are lensing these stories and telling them, it sounds different and it's going to turn out different than when folks who don't come from our communities are trying to tell our stories.
Mm.
And when you're trying to kind of pitch a story from that lens, it's not necessarily what they're used to hearing. They mm. being the gatekeepers who are either funding or greenlighting your projects. Like it's a vision, and it's a authentic take on things that you have to really be steadfast in. And that's from beginning to end, because there's always going to be people on the other side of the table who are telling you how to tell the story. And that's influenced by their perspective and their experiences. Mm. And it can be hard. It can be hard to hear that and to know how to filter it out. So I think the programs of artist support that understand that and are reinforcing and bolstering you and equipping you with the skills and the confidence, honestly, to be steadfast in your vision and to not waver mm-hmm. when you're faced mm-hmm. with that, are the really successful ones and the most impactful ones for creators of color.
So I think that's really interesting and just important to highlight again, that these programs who are, you know, specific, maybe culturally specific to Black women or specific to women of color. The other version of that, where there's maybe more a racialized, diverse cohorts or leadership staff. It's really important for these folks to understand that if they want to lift up women of color and Black women as filmmakers, as a white-led organization, or as a, you know, a lab or cohort that it has folks of mixed racialized experiences, that not everyone is having the same experience that is in the program.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So that's I think really important for organizations and leadership to hear.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, just to bring it back to Founder Girls, like, imagine if that camp was run and facilitated by not Black women. Like, it would look completely different. And the campers' experience would be completely different. And probably not meeting their needs or, like, fostering them and nurturing them in the way that makes that camp special. So it matters, for sure.
That's awesome. Thank you for addressing that. I think that's it's really important for us to say some of these things out loud, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Contessa, you attended both Columbia and NYU for filmmaking. For emerging filmmakers who might be listening to this to understand, do you feel like applying to these fellowships, residencies, pipeline programs, mentorship programs, could that replace what we call somewhat like formal education? Is that also a route to go on to becoming a filmmaker?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we need necessarily the validation. I know we don't need, let's say, the validation and the education to come from PWIs, that's for sure. I think that any kind of learning on the job and mentorship programming can absolutely be as formative as a formal education. And I think that a lot of the learning and discovery and forming myself as an artist that I did existed outside of those institutions. It really was, you know, being a part of these fellowship programs and artist support and artist development programs where I did so much of my growing as an artist and incubating my ideas and workshopping them with peers and peers that look like me. And you know, I can't discount or say where I would be without the formal education that I had. But I think that when I reflect on what really made the difference in me believing in myself as an artist, that came after Columbia and NYU, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as long as you have access to these spaces where you can find a mentor or mentors, and mentors aren't necessarily, you know, people who are senior to you in their career or more advanced in their career, rather it can be peer mentorship, and that's just as influential, you know, horizontal networking. I think Issa Rae said that. as long as you can find that community and learn from those around you who are generous, and I think it's up to us who are in those positions to share our knowledge and our experiences, to be generous in that space. I think, yeah, you can do it.
You can do it.
Yeah.
I have one last question here. What advice would you give to, you know, you just gave a piece of advice to emerging filmmakers. What advice would you give to those gatekeepers? You know, I say I'm a gatekeeper. There's a lot of gatekeepers in this industry who don't really admit to the power that they have. And I think that's always a little bit dangerous. What advice would you give to leaderships, folks in leadership in these programs, who are, you know, wanting to harness the talent of emerging filmmakers? What advice would you give to them from your experience?
I think to listen to those who you are creating the programs for and trusting them to kind of lead you in terms of what they need. I think the most successful programs are the ones that are not one size fits all or that assume this is what, the artists under our wings need. They're the ones that can be flexible and that can be responsive to the needs, especially in this time where the industry is so like volatile and ever shifting. The programs need to be able to shift and respond to the needs as they change, and to be like a bit more individualized too with those who are in the cohort. That might be easier to do when the cohorts are smaller and all of that. And just to like be real frank, like it needs to come with funding. Whether that funding is like the artists can use it however they want to pay their bills, to pay their rent, or to fund their projects, or some combination of the two, the funding is necessary, not just the mentorship and the programming. It just is, because it's hard to earn a living, and a lot of the folks that are in these programs are holding down full-time jobs while they're working on their independent films, and it takes forever and ever to make because of the sustainability aspect, not necessarily because of anything going on with their films, but like, how do I sustain myself and support myself while I make this film? Yeah, the funding is key.
Great. Thank you so much for your frankness and honesty in this conversation. As a film enthusiast, as like just a fangirl of Black creativity, as an educator, as a supporter of young people coming into our industry, I am a huge fan of yours and your work and the way that you speak truth into young people and the way that you demand that we pay attention. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me and for those kind words. I receive them. I've enjoyed this conversation a lot.
Excellent. Folks, Contessa Gales.